Hi, you're listening to Kate
and Catherine,
and we're going to show you how to find your Prince Charming so that you can finally live happily ever after, forever and ever.
No.
We are definitely not going to do that.
We are sick of that story, and it's a lie.
It is a lie.
You're listening to The New Truth, a modern woman's guide to extraordinary love.
We are going to show you how the fairy tale love story stops you from experiencing the love you truly desire.
Listen to hear how to break free from sacrifice and struggle in relationship.
And learn the new truth about love in a way that you've never heard it before.
We're so happy you're here. Keep listening.
Hello, hello. Episode 13 on the New Truth Podcast, Season 2, What It Takes to Create the Life and Love You Desire. I haven't said this in a while, how we're fired up to talk about this.
Favorite line.
There's 4 years of me saying super passionate about, but if you've been with us for a while, you know that's what we're bringing to the table with every single episode. But I will say this one in particular, there's actually going to be a softness to both of us because, of course, today's episode, many of our episodes are inspired by all of you, right? Things that come up in our client sessions, things that we see online, things that are just happening in the culture. But today's episode is inspired as a result of some of the things Kate and I were just kind of jamming about before we hit record that led to, oh, this skill that both of us are going through right now and the things that we're doing right now is what it takes to create the life and love that you desire. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about that after, though. Kate and I WhatsApp fairly frequently, but yesterday Kate decides to let me know, because I didn't know, that she's doing singing lessons. And I think this is the fucking coolest thing ever that Kate is doing for herself. So I said that we had to hit record before she told me the story so that you could all hear, because this is so, how many of you, if you're listening, do you do things just for fun? I mean, really, when you think about your life right now, is there anything you're doing for fun? That's about your soul. That's about growth, not in the way of doing personal growth so that I become a better version of myself or so that I attract love. How about that I just do for the sake of the expansion of who I am in the world and the gift of what I bring to the world? Because this is what moved me when you said it. It was like, wait, what? You sing? What? I didn't know. So tell me everything. Tell me everything.
Well, I've been singing since I was 2 years old. I was in church choir.
I didn't know this.
You didn't?
No.
What? I sang in choirs my whole life. Singing is like one of my greatest loves. How do you not know that? We're too serious. We're too serious on the podcast. Have I not sung on the podcast?
Well,
I
mean, also, this is what's perfect. This is what's perfect. We've deeply known each other. I'm going to cry now about this. We've deeply known each other for 4 years. This is a perfect example of you spend your life getting to know the people you love.
Yes.
And give me a break that you think you know someone after 3 months of knowing them and now you're getting married and you think you know. You don't know.
Yes.
And you don't know even if you've been with someone for 10 years.
Totally.
You fall in love with people as a result of continuously discovering who they are.
Yes.
And also, Kate, how would I know this? Because essentially we were building a business together. So our reference points were maybe like 5-year expansions. Like we weren't talking about what we were doing it to.
Yeah.
Or like
true.
In high
that's
school.
Well, yeah, it's funny because I have so
cool.
many things to say, and it's 100% relevant to this episode because, I believe what it really takes to create a life and love that you dream of, that you desire, that you long for in your heart is fucking burning the script, burning the script and no longer doing things out of obligation, out of, I have to, I should, this is what I've been told I'm supposed to do, or this is the thing that brings in money. This is the thing that brings in success. The reason I spend a lot of my life in joy, and it's not like high joy, although it was high last night when I had my first voice lesson. I do a lot of, I'm constantly going places and doing things that are new. And I am about to write a book, which is, so Catherine and I were inspired by this episode because we're talking about where are we going with our work in the world? What's changing? What's, where are we redirecting our energy? What's no longer in alignment? Who are we becoming? You know, these are the kinds of questions we ask and we bring to each other. And so we were talking about it to do with business. And I have noticed my saboteur show up around this book. And I talked a lot about this in the masterclass last week. My saboteur wants to be like, you're not a writer. Who are you to write? And the book is like already written. I can already feel it. It keeps like, it wakes me up in my sleep. It's already written, but not literally. And so I was walking in Athens with my dear gay bestie, Thespis. He's a thespian. He's a theater actor and a, he's many things. He's a magical soul. Human design reading's amazing. If you want one, let me know. But he and I were walking and I just was telling him about the book and I was saying, you know, I can feel it. It's right here. It's ready to be birthed. And I also feel so much resistance and have 10 million stories. And he said, you know what, baby, you need to sing. And I was like, what? And he's like, are you singing right now? And I was like, yeah, I sing in my apartment every day, like to cheesy 70s music and musicals and Disney songs. And he's like, no, you need to take professional singing lessons. And he's like, opera, you need to work with Marius. And I was like, who? And he's like, Marius, you will love each other. And of course I broke out into song because there's a Les Miserables song called Don't You Fret, Monsieur Marius. So I broke out into song and this is mine and Thespis's relationship. It's very light. It's very beautiful and magical and spiritual. And he right away reached out to his friend, told him all about me, told him we'd love each other. And my first session was last night and it's actually opera singing, which takes, I mean, I've done singing lessons before. I am not a soloist or my past self,
had a story. Never,
my past self never identified with being a soloist. I'm a choir singer. And I was sharing this in my voice lesson last night that when I sing in a choir, my voice is so much richer and more beautiful than it is when I'm even alone. I can't even get to the place when I'm in a choir. And we were talking about how our bodies, our voices, our body's the conduit for the voice and the body is like an instrument and you have to use the whole instrument. And that's what a choir does is the vibration and the frequency of the sound of everyone's voices actually softens and opens your own voice. So that's why a different quality of sound can come out because you're less hearing your own voice. So you're not like you're saboteur isn't squishing your own voice or manipulating your own voice out of fear. Because when you're in a choir, you don't really hear your own voice. You hear all the collective voices around you. So that was really powerful. And the whole session, these singing lessons, I'm going to be working with them once a week and we're doing opera, which is crazy. My voice, I'm like, I had all these stories about my voice. And I left and he said, you have a beautiful voice. And he said, your voice is way bigger than it is right now. And Catherine and I laughed because I messaged her immediately after and was like, oh my God, I can't wait. Because normally I'm like, my mouth is so close to the microphone or you can't hear me on the freaking podcast. But he said, your voice is way bigger, but it's like it's in a prison right now. There's a little cage around it. And there's a nice girl that's not letting you fully unleash your expression in your voice. And I was like, oh my God, this literally is the work I do in the world. I help women break free from the prison, the cage that's around them that stops them from being fully expressed in the world. Now I'm about to walk through this portal of taking my voice to the next level. And it's like not literal, right? Like this is, I had so much fun with this man last night. I feel like we're going to be dear friends. I loved him. We laughed, we played, we did breath exercises, we did little different scales and things, but it was so simple. And I left feeling so expanded, almost like I was high, probably from all the breathing and singing, but I felt so expanded, so filled with joy. And here's the thing, this one thing that I'm doing differently, that's brand new. Yes, I've sang my whole life, but I haven't sung in choir since I was probably 25. And I haven't done
it. When was the last time?
I was in a musical probably like 8 years ago, So I've done a few musicals in my adult life, which were like some of the best times of my life. What? How do you not know this? Jesus Christ Superstar was like absolutely one of the best experiences of my life.
And also, I think it never occurred to me to ask how you met Charlie. Because I imagine it wasn't like, oh, Charlie was in theater, but then not you.
It was not connected. It was not.
It wasn't?
So my dad was a theater actor his whole life. And music, my uncle was my choral director of my high school. My aunt was my choir director at our church, which is a very, very musical United Church, like liberal, whatever. But singing is all, the whole church is all about singing. And then my whole high school, I was in jazz choir, concert choir, every musical.
Everyone's going to love learning this about you too, by the way.
Oh my gosh. I have to say, here's the thing. Your saboteur is going to want to take you out of doing the thing that's actually going to be like all of the things that spark joy, all of the curiosities you have in your soul that are like, ooh, like as soon as Thespa said, it wasn't even on my radar to take singing lessons, like how random. Someone invited me to be in a musical tomorrow, I'd be like, fuck yes. Like that's an, if it's in Greek, maybe not, but if it was in English, yes. But taking singing lessons was not on my radar, but that's the universe giving a nudge and be like, hey, here's this thing. And it was such a yes in my body. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, last night I was like, oh, I don't feel excited about this anymore. And it's raining for the first time. Like it never rains in Athens. It was raining last night. I almost took myself out. I was like, well, I'm kind of tired from my day. Maybe I shouldn't go. And I was thinking when I got invited to be in Jesus Christ Superstar, I was like 30. I think I was 31, 32. I was single. I was very busy working with Callan and Justin's company, doing training, speaking all over the world, like super busy, full schedule. And my aunt and uncle, they have a community musical theater company that they started, and they never asked me. They never invited me because they knew I was traveling a lot for work and I was so busy. My aunt sends me a message and says, hey, your name came up tonight. We need more women who can dance and sing, obviously. And we thought of you. We know you're really busy with your job and you travel a lot, but is there any possibility you could take these 3 months and do this musical with us? And I lit up like a Christmas tree. And my boyfriend at the time was like, what? You're doing this? And he watched me go from like total expansion of like, this is such a hell yeah, oh my God, I can't wait to have this experience, to almost immediate contraction where I said, you know what? No, this is crazy. We're going to England in March. That's when the production is. I couldn't do it. And I have too many coaching calls because I was doing like 9 calls a day for their company. I was so busy. And I was like, I'm already burnt out. I'm so exhausted at night. There's no way I could do this. And he goes, oh, you're doing this. And this is like a boyfriend I had for like 2 months. But he was very self-aware and I'm so grateful for him. His name is Paul. And he's like, oh no, you're doing this. I don't think I've ever seen you that lit up. Like you are absolutely doing this. And mark my word, I was doing rehearsals every single night for like 3 months, coaching calls all day. And I was better at coaching. I had more energy. I slept so deeply. I had so much joy inside. And then the week of the musical was like one of the best weeks of my life. It was so joyful. And this is true for me with every single thing that I feel that like, ooh, that like something in my body sparks. And I know that whoever's listening, like, you know that feeling, right? When something, and then there's a curiosity. And then what happens is your mind will immediately tell you all the reasons why you shouldn't. And your practice is to do it anyways and to see and to start building evidence. Cause I have so like endless stories about situations like this that my mind tried to talk me out of, saboteur, and that added so much to my life.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. My favorite thing, there's like 15 favorite things, but really my favorite thing you just said is, as a result of this, I had more energy and slept better and was actually coaching better.
You're the opposite.
Like I'm thinking about the episode we just did about burnout, right? And how we think yes, that it's about, oh, I need a less stressful life, mm-hmm, right? Like I need a simpler life, when actually what the research shows and like what you just said is often there isn't space for the joyful thing.
Yeah.
Like that rest isn't like I'm sitting on my couch doing nothing. Rest is doing the thing that's just for the sake of doing it. That doesn't have a hook on for someone else or so I make money or so it's a performance or so that I prove that I'm valuable, along with the recognition of any. So now we're in like what it takes to create. It's doing the thing that takes you out of your comfort zone. Yes. Like this actually is personal development 101, right? That expansion happens as a result of stepping out of what is the safe scripted container.
Yes.
And I remember, I will never forget this because I actually started crying in the session. It was near the end of a session or like a series of sessions with someone where I just looked at her and I was like, take a deep breath and tell me the things that you desire that you just haven't said to me yet, right? That have nothing to do about wanting a relationship, right? She was looking for a relationship. And she proceeds to tell me four things that came out easily, right? It wasn't like she had to dig for very long. One of them was traveling to a country that she's thought about for a long time. And after she just shared those four things, I started to cry because I literally look at her and I was like, I just experienced a new you.
Yes.
In your ability to say this desire. So it's funny. There's two components to this episode then today, because the first component of what it takes to create the life and love you desire is the difference between the things that you think you're supposed to want and what you actually desire and the things that make you come alive and that have nothing to do with an outcome, right? Yes. That might just say, I desire for more community. I desire a spiritual life. I desire more fun. Right. And in these ways, most of us have little it's like a little desire around a creative project. And I already have shared before many times that the research has shown that any individuals who nourish their creativity, that is a component of creating lasting love. Right. That when the individuals in the relationship have access to creative things. And I want to acknowledge that singing it like any body based work, right? My first yoga, I hadn't done yoga in my life. I was so anti yoga because I was very rigid, right? I did Bikram yoga, right? Of course I did for a while, yeah, before I found Vinyasa yoga. But the first weekend of this yoga studio, at the end of the class, the teacher sang kirtan. And I just let myself sing, right? It was 100 people. It was a huge class. So I didn't feel self-conscious because I knew no one was going to like listen to me singing. And the body vibration, the expansion of chanting, right? And yeah, chanting with other people absolutely was a spiritual experience. And one of the breaks in self-consciousness, right? So all of you that maybe are dating or in a relationship that's gone stale, before you tell yourself it's the dating apps and it's my partner and they need to do this and other people need to do this, how about how alive am I?
Yes. Am I
right now? Right? And especially if you're dating and you're not alive, of course you're not attracting the partner. You're not alive. You're yeah, not showing up on a date full and whole and complete. And guess what? Drama is a substitute for aliveness. If you keep getting caught in drama and toxic relationships, it's a substitute for aliveness. And if you keep looking for someone else to make you come alive, you're going to be looking for a very, very long time because nobody wants that job.
Yeah.
Right? Like the secret first is giving yourself permission. And then the second secret, unless you have something to say before I say the second secret, you have more to say about claiming desires?
Yes. And I just wanted to say on that, like, I'm just imagining all the fantasy addicts out there who are just waiting to feel alive by love, because that's what all the movies have taught us.
That's the only way to come alive.
That's the only way for a woman to come alive is to be desired
by
a man. Yeah. To be desired by a man, to be chosen by a man, to be loved by a man. And it's like, that is such a setup. Because yes, it will light you up at first. And it's like mostly
it's a chemical high though. It's not real lighting up.
No, because it's the illusion in your mind that creates the high to begin with. It's the story where of you thinking where this thing's going to go or what's going to happen in the future. It's the idea of the thing that actually gets you high. versus being, there's a difference between a fantasy high and like a satiation in your body and an expansiveness in your body. So just because I was just picturing that wall, and you think about it, like if a man shows up on a date with you and they're like, oh, my life is really shitty, but like, you know, I'm really ready for love, or like, oh, I'm kind of bored and I have nothing to talk about, but I'm really ready for love. It's like, ew, that's not going to be attractive to you either. And so you're everything we're talking about, and this is obviously the premise of the whole new truth, is you're living from your heart, living from your own truth, filling your own self up and living a life that's satiating to you, so that you're not looking for one thing to give you that. And that is because that is a the most unattractive thing in the world, but also it's just not sustainable. You'll end up one day on my doorstep or in my email inbox being like, shit, Kate, you were right. I checked all the boxes. I got the perfect wedding. I got the perfect marriage. I got the perfect relationship. I got the perfect man. And now I'm like, now what? Now what? Now I'm empty inside. Oh, you could have kids and then make them your life for the next 20 years. But Catherine will not let you do that. This is this is what we're addicted to. And it's like addicted to also, we talk so much in the masterclass about the fantasy life. Like everyone on Instagram has a perfect life. And so you might be trying to create a perfect wedding, perfect life, perfect body, perfect face, perfect everything. But that is not ever going to bring you alive. And let me tell you, life is so much more worth living when you feel alive, when you feel satiated, when you expand and you go to those places that your saboteur doesn't want you to go. And then you get to look back and be like, oh my God, was I ever wrong? Wow, this is the opposite of what my mind told me it was going to be. This is always every woman that comes to the immersion, they're like, saboteur right before it gets really loud. And it's like, oh my God, don't go there. You're going to die. It's like as if they're going to jail or something. And then they get here and they're like, wait, what? I was afraid of this. This is so amazing. And I feel so full and so in love with myself and this place and these women and this experience. And I was afraid of that. I felt a little bit of fear with Kenya, like the unknown, going to a new place.
Right.
And couldn't imagine now in retrospect is like, oh my God, I feel it so deeply in my heart. That was one of the most profound experiences of my life. So that's almost always the clue. Like if you feel a spark or a desire or a curiosity and your mind is like, oh, no, don't do that. Shut it down. That's a clue. Go there, because your saboteur was developed when you were little, when it wasn't safe to be bright and live your best life and feel amazing and to do things that actually made you feel alive. Like little kids are so alive and they constantly get in trouble for it. So of course that part of you is going to think danger, 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 but you're an adult now. You get to experience and drink and taste the sweetness of life.
Perfect segue to the second part, because now it's why, what the scripted life is also the life that gets approved of. So the addiction to approval, like that's what's happening in your deep desire to be wanted by a man, and what keeps women from following their heart, because they not only then are afraid of it, it becomes, well, what will people think? What will people think if I leave this relationship? What will people think if I stop selling this thing? What will people think if I start charging more for this thing? What will people think if I leave my comfy, cushy job that I went to school for? And now I'm going to do something different.
Yes.
So what it takes to create the life and love you desire is following your desires and leaning into your resistance, right? I forget his name, but I feel like Stephen Pressfield, who wrote the book War of Art, where he actually says that the artist's life is always going toward whatever they resist. Because if there's resistance, it's going to offer the biggest reward, right? Of growth and healing of whatever you do. So I think that's one secret of like recognizing that the conscious individual is going toward what they resist. Like they're going toward the things that they're uncomfortable with.
100% of the time. Yes.
But then the next piece is the willingness to let go when it's not working anymore, right? The willingness to recognize that you are not only going to be one thing. right? That of course, if you're choosing a path of personal development and spiritual growth, there's going to be many iterations of the versions of you. And the desires that you had 10 years ago did not mean that they were bad desires 10 years ago. It just might not mean that it suits your desires for what you have now. Right.
Isn't that funny how we hold ourselves? We yeah. often hold
That's
ourselves
the script.
Constantly to our past selves. And we yes. think like, well, this, I mean, it's, we do it in relationships. Like, well, the relationship was so good in the beginning. So like, if only we can get back there.
Right.
Oh, well, I loved my business in the beginning. I loved my job in the beginning. I loved this city in the beginning. Well, maybe you've outgrown it.
And I saw, you know, one of my good friends said to me yesterday, she's like, I kind of hate the like trope in personal development when it's always about like becoming your best self, because then it assumes that you're your worst self, right? In the past, rather than I'm always making choices with the consciousness I have, right? Like over the course of my life. And it never serves any of us to have regret. Right. Mm-hmm. To shame ourselves about past choices. And if you're choosing to grow, this is, you're going to be misaligned with things as you grow. Like that's what it means to
totally.
Grow and expand. But the courageous thing. So it's both claiming your desire, but then also being able to claim when something's not working. And I think that's what Kate, I mean, even us doing season two, right, it was a conversation of just like, wait a second, 4 years later, we are fucking different. Like we need a new vibration and our work is now changing, right? Our work is now changing. And I also said to someone yesterday that I do believe that becoming a mother offers it's a unique initiation, but I find it really insane to imagine that women aren't going through initiations all the time. Like if we pedestal motherhood and diminish the initiations that women go through by being alive on this planet, it's kind of ridiculous to like put motherhood on a pedestal in that way. Motherhood is just an initiation, just like losing a parent is an initiation. Being fired from a job is an initiation. Getting a illness is an initiation. Going through a divorce is an initiation. Going yes. through a breakup with a long-term partner is an initiation. Changing your name is an initiation, right? Starting singing lessons, right? Like doing it, we're always in initiatory processes when we decide to wake up. And that's yes. what it means. You're not getting initiated, right? And you're staying small like a little girl or a princess trapped when you wait for someone else to give you permission, when you don't take chances, when you follow the scripted life and do what good girls are supposed to do, right? Then, yeah, you're not initiated because there's nothing that's actually challenged your state of consciousness. And so I recently, I'm going to say I'm going to be getting off Instagram.
Woo-hoo.
And more in the position of I will no longer be pumping out content all day long on Instagram, right? I might play on there personally. Right. And share my thoughts or use it as a way to direct you to the other things that I'm doing. But after 4 years of like deeply diving and devoting my energy and time and attention into Instagram, it's not working for me anymore. And this was a very hard thing to come to terms with because I was paying someone to support me in the development of my Instagram. And that relationship just ended. And I think it's like the yin yang symbol, right? Like if you're going to claim what you want, you're going to be letting go of what you don't.
Yeah.
Right. And there's no way around that there is grief in growth, no matter what, right?
Ooh,
I have friendships.
That's a t-shirt. There's grief and growth.
Grief and growth.
Or like a bumper sticker.
Well, I'm sure your clients have said this too, right? For the 12 years I've been coaching, every time someone expands and grows, there are friends that fall away,
100%.
Right? There are friends that don't then align with the new state of consciousness. And we don't ever want to talk about that. So really this next piece of the episode is like anchoring into what it takes to let go of what doesn't work and how hard our mind wants to hold on because it's safe, it's easy, it's predictable, right? That's why we're hanging on, right? Because all those things do have value sometimes, but if your value is to grow, if your value is to expand in consciousness, if your value is to live your life where you're fully alive, this is part of the deal, right? And I've shared the fast. If you really want to attract love fast, like I'm just going to say it, say no faster to the people who are not aligned. Stop going on 7 dates with guys that you're not interested in. Stop saying yes when you mean no. Stop chasing after the unavailable person, right? That the actual secret to attracting your aligned partner is saying no to what's not aligned. And so many women have such a freaking hard time letting go and doing that.
Yeah. And you know, it like you did say this, it's the girl that holds on. And then it's the girl that holds on to what is no longer serving us and keeps us, you know, abusing ourselves in all in the name of, or even blaming. How often are you blaming a circumstance, but not doing anything differently inside of it? So if you're choosing to stay in the job you hate, can you show up differently inside of it? Can you relate to it different? Can you dial back all the places in which you've been overfunctioning and sacrificing yourself and saying yes when it's a no, and changing those dynamics and seeing if your job changes, or seeing doing the same with your relationship? But as long as you're there, you're choosing to be there. Yeah. And so either start to show up differently. We talked a lot about this on the masterclass last week. Show up differently inside of it if you're choosing it, or choose to leave, choose to let go, knowing that even though letting go is scared to a very young part of you, you will see on the other side all of the new things that are born and created and birthed because you had the courage to let go. And it doesn't mean that you have to fully let go. Sometimes it means that the thing needs to change forms. I think about my relationship with Jeff. Jeff is like my family. I love him so deeply. We text like once every couple weeks. We, you know, see each other when I'm in Vancouver. We talk on FaceTime every once in a while. And I care about him so dearly, and I always will. And I care about Charlie dearly. I don't really have a close relationship with Charlie now. He's married and on his path, but we love each other. We would be there for each other if we needed each other. And so those relationships, while we're not together anymore, they've just changed forms. And how? Because the sovereign woman ended them, right? I didn't end from blame, resentment. Like if you're ending things from victim mentality and blame and attack and you know, control, whatever, it's not going to feel good on the other side of that. And that you're also going to carry it all with you. But the initiation is to be willing to let go with love. I did an episode, if you're in a relationship predicament and you're ready to let go, I did an episode, I think it was around the 100th mark, maybe 102 or something, but it was called Leaving with Love. And that was about my ending with Jeff. But I think, like, had I not left Jeff and left that relationship, maybe I would still be living in Vancouver. Maybe I would be on antidepressants. Maybe I would be completely, like, I don't know where I would be. But because I had the courage to finally, and we went through some waves, but it took me time to get there, but I had the courage to be like, this is complete. That opened my life up. And then one divine moment led me to move to Greece when I couldn't get on an airplane, like just like the opera thing, like life is leading you. There are so many divine moments of synchronicity and opportunity and invitations that will come your way, but they only come our way, or we only really get the message and see them when we're willing to let go of what's out of alignment. Because if you're holding on to everything that's out of alignment and you're so busy in your controller saboteur archetype, trying to keep up the facade of this lie.
Yeah.
That's going to take all of your life force energy. There's going to be nothing left for anything else. So if an opportunity even comes your way, you're not even going to see it because you're so busy holding on to that which is not serving you. So yes, I love, this is so good. It was also sparked by Mark Groves right now. I'm so inspired by the movement he's creating. We've had Mark many times on the podcast. If you don't know him, he's Create the Love, but not for long, on Instagram. He has 1.5 million followers, and Mark has decided he's in an abusive relationship with social media. He does not agree with social media, and he's going off of it, and he's doing YouTube only now because YouTube pays people for creating content. And I watched his video last night and thought he's initiating people all over the world to do the exact same, not necessarily with social media. However, change your relationship with it. If it's one of your vices or if it's one of the things that's hurting you, where you keep staying in comparison or you keep staying in addiction or you keep staying in whatever. But basically, you know, he's talking about this invitation into getting into full integrity with ourselves. And that's what the new truth is like no longer living a lie, a fantasy, a facade of your life, or a life that's for everybody else's approval of you, the performative life, but actually getting into the driver's seat of your life and getting absolutely ruthless with letting go of what is not for you. And we're doing this right now. And when you choose new things, it's going to feel scary. It's supposed to. So just expect that and love up the part of you that feels scared and let yourself embrace the journey. So instead of I could go to voice lessons and be like, okay, I can't wait to get to the result so I can have a big full voice and experience that. It's like, no, I'm going to have so much fun along the journey. Same with book writing. I made that commitment today, where I was realizing the only thing that has me resistant is the thing that this part of me that thinks like, oh, I just have to have it already done, versus like, what if I were to just absolutely love the experience of writing the book and actually let the book come through me and let myself enjoy the woman I have to become a writer.
That's it. That's it. The final things I wanted to say are literally what you just said, that waiting to not be scared is not going to happen, you know? And one of the most powerful things in my life was when I left my Jamie, and in 2013, where my friend was just like, this is going to suck. Right? Like, you're a love addict. You've been on again, off again for 3 years. You're going to wait forever to feel some kind of peace around it. Like, you were in a love addict. So you got to leave with love and consciousness with Jeff, because you actually had a good relationship with Jeff. For me, anyone that's in the drama toxic dynamic, there isn't going to be some peaceful place you might get to. Like, actually the courage might be, no, I need to stop this now. Like, yes. I need to stop this now. And then trust. Like, Jamie and I ended in November when I was willing to be like, I have to stop now, you know, even though I was scared. And then May of the following year, we were able to have a peaceful, neutral, calm conversation. Right? So you have to recognize there's like, being not afraid, like the resistance and the fear tells you it's the direction you need to go, right? Like, you now see those as gifts. And then this place of, if you're choosing growth, who you're become, there's no, I'm becoming the best version of myself. I'm just becoming more myself, right? That's what I want to leave everyone with. It's like the gift of life. I believe the freaking purpose of life is to experience the fullness of who we are, and we are infinite. like you will be discovering who you are for the rest of your life. Like, Kate and I are not, we know who we are and we love ourselves every day perfectly. Like, no, we're in active process with engaging with our souls, engaging with our love, engaging with our lives. And that's what the new truth is now about. Like, what does it mean to come fully alive and to reclaim all the lost parts of yourself, all the parts that you've kept hidden, all the parts that life has told you you're not allowed to have? That women being free and having all of who you are is very different than like, here's how to get everything you want. Because in my experience, that's not how life works. You don't get everything you want all the time.
And it's not going to make you happy. You think it is.
If you have you, that is an experience not to be missed. That you get to remain connected to yourself no matter what you're going through, no matter what happens. And it's no longer dependent on anything outside of you. That is true freedom.
Yes.
This was a fucking great episode.
Really good episode. And then you're a magnet to things like to love and life experiences that are far beyond what your mind can come up with, what you think you want, the type of man you think you want, relationship, woman, whatever, purpose, job, career. Your mind is conditioned to be limited and think in lack and limitation and fear. So You are more than you could ever know. And the life that is meant for you is
it's waiting for you.
It's waiting for you, and it's beyond, and it's, and like you said, it's infinite. And then it just gets juicier and juicier. And it's like, ooh, what's next? So fun. Yes. So we hope you enjoyed this epic episode. Share it with all your friends, spread the word, and we love you, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, it's Kate. Thanks so much for listening to the New Truth Podcast. For more of Catherine and I, come hang out with us in the New Truth Movement Facebook group. We are in there. That's where we're sharing all about our programs and our free workshops that we do. You can come join us there and ask as many questions as you want about the podcast episodes, about dating, relationships, any struggles you're having out there. We would love to support you. So come hang out with us in the New Truth Movement Facebook group, and we will see you soon.